Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is Company Founder of Scriptures, Rosario Abati. Well, the first thing I would like to do is I would personally like to thank you for ordering our monthly teaching tape, and I hope with all my heart that it'll be a great inspiration and revelation to you. Now, the purpose of our monthly teaching tapes is to teach all who listen their true relationship with God through the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, whether you are a new or a mature Christian, I am sure that you will enjoy listening to them. To get the full revelation of this month's lesson, I encourage you to listen to this tape as often as you can, at home or while driving in your car. The more you listen, the more you will understand. You also have our full permission to copy this tape as many times as you like, and please give it away free to your family, friends, and any unsaved person you may know. Remember, our goal is to spread God's word and to win souls for Jesus Christ. Now, one more thing I would like to mention is when you listen to this tape, please do not listen to it as if I were preaching to you from a pulpit, because I'm not, first of all. But listen to this tape as if I were in your home teaching you face-to-face, one-on-one. Now, with this in mind, let us start this month's lesson on probation with God, and it's tape offer number 9812. Now, this may sound like a peculiar title, On Probation with God, but the reason I chose this is, being a former radio evangelist, you know, I certainly had a great advantage to talk to a lot of people. And, you know, I had a hard time sometimes believing why some people believed, what they believed. And I had a hard time believing it myself simply because I couldn't find a lot of what they believed in the Bible. And if you've been listening to our tapes for the past couple of years or so, you always will know that whatever I say and whatever I teach, I always try to back it up with the Word of God. You know, I always believed that we should be like the Bereans in the book of Acts, chapter 17:11. Where it said the Bereans were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, and they listened to everything that Paul had said, and then they went home to study the Scriptures daily to find out if these things were true. However, it seems to me that there are a lot of Christians that just either want to listen to a tape like this one, or they want to listen to their pastor, or they want to turn on a radio station, or they want to turn on a TV, and whatever this particular person that they may be following has to say, well, they consider that the gospel truth. Now, maybe it is or maybe it isn't, but I do know this, that the Bible says in 1 John that God will teach, the anointing which we receive from Him will teach us all things, and that we need no one to teach us. However, it's unfortunate, and I even hate to say this, but it's true, but it's unfortunate that a lot of Christians don't want to read the Bible. They seem to rather listen to a tape like this, or watch a TV show, or listen to a radio program, rather than pick up the Bible to find out if what they're hearing is the absolute truth or not. Now, I always encourage people who listen to this, you know, don't take my word for anything that I say. All right? I'm not saying that I'm lying. But what I want you to do is I want you to study on your own. And I encourage everyone who is listening to this tape to please check out everything that I'm saying. You know, most of us should have a Bible, and if you don't have one, please go out and buy one. But what I'm trying to say is that you must, on your own, test everything. That includes teachings that you hear, and especially those that you believe. You know, many of us sometimes are deceived by personality or enthusiasm or a degree that someone may have. But, you know, let's not allow these kinds of things to be our teacher. Let God be our teacher. And He promised us again that He Himself would teach us. So what I'm trying to say here is that many of us, and the reason I chose this On Probation with God, is that many of us believe, or I should say most of us believe, or all of us believe, that we're saved by faith through grace. But somehow, during their walk with Christ, they seem to think that this changes in some way. In other words, I'm saved today, but if I do something wrong, then God's going to punish me, or I might lose my salvation or something like that, you know. But we have to find out for sure, according to God's word, are we honestly and truly secure in Christ, or are we on probation with God? And if we are, we certainly should be able to find some scriptures that confirm that. Now, with that in mind, let's start this lesson. And the first scripture I would like you to turn to is found in John 5:24. And I'll read it to you. Now, this is your Savior speaking. So please listen closely. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now, to me, when we read that, we have to understand and we have to make sure that when Jesus spoke these words, was he telling us the truth? He very clearly says here that those who believe in him and believe in the one who sent him, number one, have everlasting life, and number two, will not come into condemnation. Now, I know the Bible says that it is impossible for God to lie. And I believe, and I hope that you do, that Jesus certainly was God in the flesh. And if it's impossible for God to lie, then it certainly is impossible for our Savior Jesus Christ to lie. All right, the next scripture I'd like you to turn to is found in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. And I'll read it to you. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. All right, now turn with me to that same chapter, I should say, stay in that same chapter, and go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 38 and 39. Now, in case you're wondering, I always read from the King James Bible, so if you have a Bible, you can certainly read along with me. Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. For I am persuaded, now that's Paul saying this, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, from these three scriptures, I would have to ask you a question. Does this sound like somehow we were on probation with God? I don't think so. I think it's really trying to confirm the very fact that we are secure in Christ, not by something that we do or something that we don't do, but only and always by what God has done for us through the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, turn with me to another scripture, and it's found in John chapter 19 and verse 30. And again, if you have your Bible, read along with me. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Now, Jesus Christ came to, when he was baptized in the Jordan River, he said that he came to fulfill all righteousness. And then his last breath was that it is finished. What is finished? Well, the fulfillment of all righteousness. You see, if we don't understand that Jesus Christ did for us what we could never do, then it's natural to think that somehow we're on probation with God. But once we understand what Jesus Christ has done for us, then we can fully understand that there's no way that we could ever be on probation with God. Because even if we were on probation with God, what are the rules and what are the regulations? And how many times will God allow me to break my probation before he says, well, that's enough? See, there's only two thoughts. Either we're, and the Bible clearly talks about this, we're either saved by works or we're saved by grace. But we're not saved by both. See, there are two different systems. One is works, and that's man's human effort in trying to win God's approval. And we have a whole history of a nation called Israel who could never do that. And if we're honest with ourselves, we should know that we were unable to do that. And we also have another system called grace, which is God's unmerited favor towards us, and whereby he imputes or gives us the righteousness that he demands from us through the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, no man can enter into the presence of God unless God somehow declares him or makes that person righteous. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, and let's try to understand how God makes us righteous. Or do we have to do it ourselves? Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, and I'll read it to you. And God said, remember, God cannot lie, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. See, so God, you know, it's clear that God made man in his own image and his own likeness because it says so. Then if you go to verse 31, it says, and God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. Now all you have to do is ask yourself this question. What did Adam and Eve do to be very good in God's sight? Well, it's simple. Nothing. God made them that way. Now what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to turn to Genesis chapter 3 and let's read verse 5. And I want to show you something here maybe you never saw before. And it's extremely important, but it's unfortunate that a lot of people miss this. All right, let's read it. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 5. This is the devil tempting Eve. For God doth know it that in the day that ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, what is the temptation here? You see, the temptation is this. Do something in order to become something. In other words, the devil told Eve that if you want to be like God, what you need to do is you need to eat the fruit off of the tree. In other words, do something in order to become something. Now, Eve believed that and actually ate the fruit, and that was the beginning of the fall of man. However, if she had believed what God had previously said about her, that she was made in his image and his likeness, her response would have been this. I don't have to eat a fruit off of a tree in order to be like God. He has already made me that way. You understand what I'm trying to say, folks? You see, the devil is the author of religion. He always tries to convince God's people that they must do something or not do something in order to be what they already are. Are you getting this? If not, run the tape back and listen to it again. Now, if you read John chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, to as many as received him, speaking of Christ, to them he gave the right to be called the children of God. You see, God has given you the right to be to call yourself a child of God. Why? By something that you've done? Never. It's always and only by what God has done for you. And I stress that. For you. Through the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. Namely this. That Christ died a death for you. He lived a life for you. And you have his righteousness, because God said so. Now, if God says that you're righteous in Christ, then that's what you are. So we can't fall back into the temptation that Eve fell for and not believe in what God says we are in Christ. See, and that's always the key. When we can see and say what God sees and says about us, then you defeat the devil every time. It's unfortunate that many of us, because we believe we're on probation with God, and because we think that way, we have a tendency, and what else are you going to turn to? We have a tendency to look at self and what self is doing, and then we judge our relationship with God on that basis and that basis alone. Wrong. Not true. Your relationship with God is always and only based on what he's done for you through the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9. And these two little verses, Colossians chapter 9 and 10, say so much if we believe what it says. Verse 9, for in him, now this is speaking of Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete, I emphasize that word, complete in him. Now, what I have in front of me is a Webster's Collegiate Dictionary, and I'm going to read to you what the word complete means, so that you can get a full understanding of what this means. And I hope to God that it explodes in your mind, because this is what God is saying about you, my friends. And it's about time we learned and believe who we really are, according to God, and not what someone else might think we are, or what we might think of ourselves. It's what God says that counts. So let's start saying the same thing that God says about us. Complete. It says, lacking none of the parts. Full, whole, entire, ended, finished, concluded, thorough, perfect. You see, friends, when God says you're complete in Christ, that means there's nothing he's going to add to what you already are. See, it's the same thing with Adam and Eve. God made them all that they were ever going to be. And God told them, the day you eat off the tree is the day you shall surely die. They were on probation. Jesus was on probation, but we're not on probation because God has given us the complete life of Christ, which has already been declared righteous. Now, if you go to Genesis chapter 15 and you read that chapter, I'm not going to go there, but you will see that there was a man called Abram. And God told Abram, Abram, what I want you to do is I want you to go outside and I want you to look at the stars. And as many stars as there are, that's how many descendants you're going to have. And it said, Abraham believed God, and God counted him righteous. Now, why did God count him righteous? Because he believed what God told him. Now, it's always been that way, and it will always be that way. God tells us something, and we're called to believe it. If we don't believe it, what are we doing? We're calling God Almighty a liar. And it says it's impossible for God to lie. So if God says that you are complete in Christ, then you should and better start believing that that's what you are, my friends. So we are something already. It's not that we're going to become something. We have to understand that we're already all that God says we are in Christ. If you turn to 2 Corinthians 5:17, you know, and let's read along with me if you have a Bible. And this is a scripture that most are familiar with, but you know, let's listen to the words, because I think many times when we read the Bible, we're not paying attention to the words. And Jesus said, "My words are spirit and truth." So we have to understand what the words are, and we have to believe them. You know, if we don't know what words mean, then most certainly we're going to be confused about what the Bible is trying to tell us. That's why sometimes we need tools and help. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ. Now, who is any man be in Christ? Well, that could only be a believer. Because only the believers are in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. See, he's not a renewed creature. He's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. You see, this is making a very strong statement that we're something new, not renewed, okay? We're not reborn again. We're born again. And God doesn't take the old man and then change it into something different, or repairs it, that's not salvation. That's religion. See, God makes you into a new person, and the only way that you're ever going to see that new person is by going to the Bible and reading what God says you are. That's why it takes faith. If we could experience and look in the mirror and see all that God says we are in Christ, then there would be no need of faith. And Paul says, walk by faith and not by sight. In other words, don't believe what you see, but believe by faith what God says. All right? Verse 18, and all things are from God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world back to himself. See, it was God that was doing this, not us. Not imputing, or not counting, their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. See, that's your full-time job, by the way. You're an ambassador for Christ. Somebody asks you, what do you do for a living? Say, I'm an ambassador for Christ. Whatever you do to earn money, that's your part-time job. But as far as God's concerned, you're an ambassador for Christ. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. In other words, we're supposed to tell people, God is not mad at you anymore, that he reconciled you back to himself through the person of his son, Jesus Christ. And he wants you and will accept you just the way you are. A sinner, because we're all that way anyways. And nothing you do or nothing you say or nothing you're ever going to do is going to surprise God, because sinners sin, dogs bark, and fish swim. It's our nature. And God said he's not going to count these things against you anymore. For he hath made him, okay, now listen to this scripture, friends. For he hath made him, speaking of Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You see, you're not righteous in yourself. You're righteous in Christ. And that's where God put you. That's where God sees you. That's the way God treats you. And that's the way God judges you. He's already judged you innocent. No condemnation. We read those scriptures earlier. God doesn't change his mind, and God certainly doesn't stutter. He didn't say one thing here and then say something else somewhere else. You know, God forbid if that's the way God taught us. But he doesn't teach us. His word is consistent. His word is true. His word is perfect. It's what we need to do is we need to study his word to find out that his word certainly is perfect, and that his word confirms itself. We don't need anybody to teach us, like it says in 1 John. God himself will teach you through his word. When God says something, you'll see the confirmation somewhere else. That's why it's so important to read the Bible yourself. As the Bereans did, they listened to what Paul said, and that's fine to do. But they went home to study the scriptures daily to find out if these things are true. So I encourage you with all my heart, my friends, to, you know, please do exactly the same thing. Confirm whatever I'm saying by God's word. Study the word yourself. Don't be afraid to believe something that may not be true, that you might have believed for the past 20 years or so. Because God wants you to walk in the truth. Because he said, know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And believe me, friends, when you do know the truth, you will be set free mainly from self. See, we need to be set free from self, because self is the enemy and the devil. You know, it's our own sin nature that tries to convince us that now that we're a born again believer, we're able to live a perfect sinless life. Well, my friends, it doesn't say that anywhere in the Bible. It says that we are sinless and perfect in Christ because we're not under the law, but we're certainly not sinless in our nature. Our nature is fallen. God knew that before he even saved you. And to those that think that somehow we're responsible for a personal sin that we commit after we're saved, then I ask you this question. How many of your sins were future when Christ died? Well, the answer is simple. All of them. And we can't make a statement once on this side and then make a different statement on the other side. For instance, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ died for all of my sins, but there are no buts, friends. When the Bible says that Jesus Christ, your Savior, died for all of your sins, that means all, A-L-L. There's not one that has been left out. You see, so Jesus Christ, He was the one that was on probation for you. He was the one that lived the life that none of us could ever live. And that's a perfect life. See, and if we don't understand that part, if we don't understand that in order to be acceptable to God, we must live a perfect life. Now, what is a perfect life? A perfect life is a life that God would call righteous. Well, what's righteous? Righteous is this. You keep the whole law from birth until death and don't break one. Because when you break one, God says you broke them all. See? And if you broke one, you will never, ever be considered righteous in God's sight. In fact, we can even go further than that. In fact, let's go there. Let's turn to Romans chapter 5 and verse 19. And friends, if this doesn't say it all, I don't know what does. Let's read it if you have a Bible. Romans chapter 5, verse 19. And my dear friends, please listen to the words. When we listen to the words, we understand what the scripture means. For as by one man's disobedience, speaking of Adam, see, it's not talking about you, it's talking about the sin of Adam and his disobedience, many were made sinners. See, so you became a sinner because of what Adam did in the garden. So by, in other words, if this is true, and you know everybody seems to believe that we became sinners by the transgression of Adam, but what about the second part? So by the obedience of the one, speaking of Jesus, shall many be made righteous. Not become righteous, made righteous. Just like it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Not renewed, but a new creation. See, God made you into something new that never existed before. And that's what you became when you're born again. And God is trying to describe this new life that you have in Christ through the Bible. However, if we don't believe it, what we're going to do is we're going to try to be what God says we already are. And that's the transgression that happened in the garden, didn't it? Eve wanted to be something that she already was. And the devil always works that way. If you go to Matthew and you read Jesus' baptism, it says, behold, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And immediately he went to the desert to be tempted by the devil. And what did the devil tell him? If you're the son of God, change that rock into a piece of bread. Well, he knew who he was. He didn't have to do anything to prove who he was. So he said this, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Well, you think that he was speaking only of himself when he said that? He's speaking to you too, my friends. And we have to believe every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And if God says that you're perfect and complete, you're righteous, you're holy, you're all that you're ever going to be in Christ, then it's about time we started believing what God says. Or who are we going to believe? If we don't believe God in His Word, then who are we going to believe? Who are you going to turn to find out who you really are in Christ? You can't see it with the human eye. You can't see faith by the human eye. It's a statement and a belief that we must take by faith. See, so the believer, my friend, if we understand all these scriptures, cannot in any way be on probation. In other words, if he is, then he's not all that God says he is in Christ. That's simple understanding our language. See, so we're not on probation. We're not walking on eggshells. We're not walking on a fence. We are secure and complete in Christ, and there's nothing else in this whole world, in this whole universe, that can be any more secure than God's Word. And God is the one who's telling us what we are in His precious Son, Jesus Christ. Now, we have two choices, believe it or not believe it. I choose to believe what God says. And it's simple. It's settled. It's settled in my mind. I don't care what someone else may say or how someone else may judge me, because who are they? I'm going to let a human brain judge me when God, my Father, declares me innocent, perfect, justified, holy, righteous in His Son? Well, I'd be foolish to do that. And I hope to God that you're not foolish enough to allow someone else, or even yourself, Paul says. He says he does not even judge himself. But allow God to judge you, and allow God to tell you who you are in His precious Son, Jesus Christ. I hope that I've given you enough scriptures on this lesson to convince you of all that you are in Christ. If not, please pick up the Bible, especially the book of Romans, and please read it as many times as you can, my friends. Well, we have reached the end of this month's lesson, and I hope with all my heart that it has helped you. If you ever have any questions or comments, please feel free to write me anytime. Remember, we are all one in the body of Christ. This is Rosario Abati. Thanks for listening. I love you, and please join me for next month's lesson.